Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We've been having a conversation all morning and probably will continue it about the Restoring Honor rally on Saturday, organized by Fox commentator Glenn Beck. Tens of thousands, at least, maybe hundreds of thousands, attended at the National Mall. And Beck billed the event as non-political. But now that the rally is over, we can take a look back and ask ourselves, what was that rally? Is it the beginning of a movement? Was it a simple call to faith, as Beck has argued? Many people had a problem with it using the exact date and the exact location of the March on Washington from 1963. But other people had other takes on that.
It's Jim from Cape Cod, and I would have to say this weekend's rally on the Mall was 100% right on, and Al Sharpton needs serious repudiation. He has no monopoly on interpreting the civil rights movement.
Well, Al Sharpton has commented that the Glenn Beck's rally had an opposite message from the March on Washington, but help us kind of sort through this. We have John Avlon with us. He's the Daily Beast senior political columnist, author of Wing Nuts, How the Lunatic Fringe is Hijacking America.
Wait, so we got a lunatic fringe expert to talk about Glenn Beck?
Well, someone has to be an expert in these things.
Hey, John.
John, you were at the rally on Saturday, right?
I sure was.
Okay, so I wanted to play for you a little clip that we had from an earlier interview we did with Dr. Alveda King. She's the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King, and she actually spoke at the event on Saturday, and she had this to say this morning.
Government is not our protector. God is our protector. And Glenn at the rally was saying, return to God. And so that was very consistent with what I know the civil rights movement was about.
What's your response to that?
Well, Alveda King speaks to the authority of a family member, but I think history also shows that in addition to being armed with faith, that government policies after Little Rock certainly helped move the civil rights movement forward in this country. A partisan analysis of American politics is almost always wrong. And the reality is that it's not a Democrat-Republican thing, but the conservative populist tradition in America, which Beck and Palin represent, have not historically been cheerleaders of the civil rights movement, which is the source of some of the controversy.
Okay, so let me go back to whether or not this was a political. What kind of event was this? Glenn Beck said this was not a political event, but that leads us to the question of what was it? Here is him speaking.
Something that is beyond man is happening. America today begins to turn back to God.
Well, you were at the rally. I only saw coverage of it, and to me it sounded more like a religious revival than anything else. What was it?
This was very specifically a religious revival. And to the extent that Beck is a partisan political commentator, it was something a little unprecedented in our recent American politics, at least. You know, we've had examples of people like Father Charles Coughlin in the past, the radio priest who was hugely popular during the Great Depression in the 1930s. But this is a political commentator who really made a decision. When he first announced this in November 2009, he announced he was going to present his 100-year plan for America with a companion book and seminars and all that, but an explicitly political project. What's interesting is that sometime in the last several months, Glenn Beck pivoted to a religious message. Now, he always intertwines religion and politics in his messaging, but this was an explicitly religious message. This was a religious revival on the Washington Mall.
But if you take out religion and put nonpartisan, I mean, Beck could be onto something here. I mean, he's basically marshaling all of the angst that goes with Obama's bad approval ratings, the numbers that look like a very disturbing referendum for the Democrats going into the fall election. I mean, this is something that is politically translatable.
Well, look, demagogues always do well in economic downturns, and it's something that we've seen at both sides. Huey Long and Charles Coughlin in the 30s, for example. Midterm elections are typically low turnout, high intensity elections, and that clearly benefits the Republicans. And the demographic at this rally was a Tea Party demographic, even though the message was resolutely not. And it was a broad and peaceful crowd. It was not an angry crowd.
But John, the difference between Coughlin and Huey Long is monstrous. I mean, Huey Long is a political legend. Coughlin sort of faded away. away after the Depression.
Many people think of Huey Long as a would-be dictator as well, in Louisiana, the way he governed that state. I think there's been a bit of whitewashing of that legacy, but that's another...
Whether he's a dictator or not, could Glenn Beck take that mantle?
No. But he's a hugely influential figure in the conservative populist movement today, and he proved it by being able to marshal certainly tens of thousands and possibly north of 100,000 people to the Washington Mall for a religious revival. And in upon itself, there's nothing objectionable. People should not reflexively object to a religious message of faith, hope, and charity simply because it comes from Mr. Beck. My problem, what struck me enormously, is that Beck, appealing to the better angels of our nature, really lamenting the fact that there's so much division in our country, the growing hatred he sees in our politics. It seemed to me like Glenn Beck had never watched The Glenn Beck Show, because that's how he made his $32 million last year, using conflict, tension, fear, and resentment. And it's tough to pivot to a message of unity when your message has been largely based on fear and division. Now, he is a complicated figure, Glenn Beck. I believe there's a good Beck and a bad Beck. And he's somebody who does project his self-help philosophy, his own rise from drug and alcohol addiction via faith and of deep patriotic belief in the country onto our politics. But it doesn't take a genius to figure out that if you've made part of your notoriety on calling President Obama racist, that trying to claim the mantle of Martin Luther King ain't going to go down so well.
Well, let me ask you, Beck said very specifically Sunday he has zero desire for run for president. There will be no Beck Palin ticket in 2012. But will he surface as the leader of the Tea Party movement and become a political force?
He explicitly, I think, with this decision to go in the religious direction, has moved away from political ambitions. But he is a leader of the conservative populist movement in America, no question. The Tea Party is a leaderless movement. There's no one leader. But Palin and Beck are two of the most prominent figures who inspire that crowd, no
question. But Beck is going to go there because he can't afford the pay cut. Is that what you're saying?
I think that may be part of it.
John Avalon, Daily Beast, senior political columnist, author of Wing Nuts. He joined us from Washington, D.C.